lots of young ladies who didn't wear many clothes. He eventually died from stepping on a tiger. A good deed goes around the world. The Discworld turned against the glittering backdrop of space, spinning very gently on the backs of the four giant elephants that perched on the shell of Great Artuin, the star turtle. Continents drifted slowly past, topped by weather systems that themselves turned gently against the flow, like waltzers spinning counter to the whirl of the dance. 1 billion tons of geography rolled slowly through the sky. People look down on stuff like geography and meteorology, and not only because they're standing on one and being soaked by the other. They don't look quite like real science. That is to say, the sort you can use to give something three extra legs and then blow it up. But geography is only physics slowed down and with a few trees stuck on it, and meteorology is full of excitingly fashionable chaos and complexity. And summer isn't a time. It's a place as well. Summer is a moving creature and likes to go south for the winter. Even on the Discworld, with its tiny orbiting sun tilting over the turning world, the seasons moved. In Ankh-Morpork, greatest of its cities, spring was nudged aside by summer, and summer was prodded in the back by autumn. Geographically speaking, there was not a lot of difference within the city itself, although in late spring the scum on the river was often a nice emerald green. The mist of spring became the fog of autumn, which mixed with fumes and smoke from the magical quarter and the workshops of the alchemists until it seemed to have a thick, choking life of its own. And time moved on. Autumn fog pressed itself against the midnight window panes. Blood ran in a trickle across the pages of a rare volume of religious essays which had been torn in half. There had been no need for that, thought Father Tubalcheck. A further thought suggested that there had been no need to hit him either, but Father Tubalcheck had never been very concerned about that sort of thing. People healed, books didn't. He reached out shakily and tried to gather up the pages, but slumped back again. The room was spinning. The door swung open. Heavy footsteps creaked across the floor. One footstep, at least, and one dragging noise. Step, drag, step, drag. Father Tubalcheck tried to focus.
"You," he croaked.
Nod.
"Pick up the books."
The old priest watched as the books were retrieved and piled carefully with fingers not well suited to the task. The newcomer took a quill pen from the debris, carefully wrote something on a scrap of paper, then rolled it up and placed it delicately between Father Tubalcheck's lips. The dying priest tried to smile.
"We don't work like that," he mumbled, the little cylinder wobbling like a last cigarette. "We make our own..."
The kneeling figure watched him for a while and then, taking great care, leaned forward slowly and closed his eyes. Commander Sir Samuel Vimes, Ankh-Morpork City Guard, frowned at himself in the mirror and began to shave. The razor was a sword of freedom. Shaving was an act of rebellion. These days, someone ran his bath every day. You wouldn't think the human skin could stand it. And someone laid out his clothes, such clothes. And someone cooked his meals, what meals he was putting on weight, he knew. And someone even polished his boots, and such boots. No cardboard-soled wrecks, but big, well-fitting boots of genuine shiny leather. There was someone to do nearly everything for him, but there were some things a man ought to do for himself, and one of them was shaving. He knew that Lady Sybil mildly disapproved. Her father had never shaved himself in his life. He had a man for it. Vimes had protested that he'd spent too many years trudging the nighttime streets to be happy about anyone else wielding a blade anywhere near his neck. But the real reason, the unspoken reason, was that he hated the very idea of the world being divided into the shaved and the shavers, or those who wore the shiny boots and those who cleaned the mud off them. Every time he saw Willikins, the butler, fold his, Vimes's, clothes, he suppressed a terrible urge to kick the butler's shiny backside as an affront to the dignity of man. The razor moved calmly over the stubble of the night. Yesterday there had been some official dinner. He couldn't recall now what it had been for. He seemed to spend his whole life at the things.
arch, giggling women and brain.